I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Whatever kind of night you're having, start it off right with Drizzly, the go-to app for drink delivery. Whether you're mixing up a bullet bourbon old-fashioned for a cozy night in or a Kettle One Bloody Mary bar for a birthday brunch, you can get the perfect beer, wine, and spirits for any occasion delivered with Drizzly. So,
what's it gonna be?
Download the Drizzly app or go to drizzly.com. That's drizzly.com to choose your drinks today. Must be 21 plus, not available in all locations.
When you save on auto insurance for driving safe with USAA Safe Pilot, you'll feel like a big deal. Even in a traffic jam. Save up to 30% with USAA Safe Pilot. Restrictions apply.
Want big savings on best-in-class supplements? From November 21st to 28th, you can save 25% on all of Bioptimizer's products. No restrictions and no limits. This is their biggest sale of the year, and it won't happen again until 2023, which means right now is the best time to stock up on Magnesium Breakthrough, P3OM Probiotics, Masszymes, and more. Just go to www.bioptimizers.com/podcast10 and enter podcast10 for 25% off any order during 2022 Black Friday, November 21st through 28th.
Science proves quality sleep is vital to your mental, emotional, and physical health. The Sleep Number 360 smart bed senses your movements and automatically adjusts to help keep you both effortlessly comfortable. And it's temperature balancing, so you stay cool. So you're at your best for yourself and those you care about most. Life-changing sleep, only from Sleep Number. It's our Black Friday sale. Save 50% on the Sleep Number 360 limited edition smart bed, plus free home delivery on all smart beds when you add a base. And Cyber Monday. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com.
You're listening to Pop, The History Makers, with me, Steve Blame.
Rasmus, or Raz Linville, is best known as half of the production team, Rob and Raz. With singer Leila Kay, they scored an international hit with Got to Get, a track that charted in 1989 all over Europe and the US. Raz is still producing music, amongst others, with Papa D, who was the very first artist he worked with at Telegram Records, in a career that now stretches well over 30 years.
Raz, you do not look a day older or a day younger. You don't look any different.
Thank you.
You were a big part of my early days on MTV because of your music, and your music was featured, and also going to Stockholm. So this is a great pleasure for me. But I want to really go back and start at the beginning. And if you can tell me a little bit about your upbringing and what sort of music your parents listened to and when your taste started to diverge from theirs.
Yeah, actually, my father never listened to any kind of popular music, only classical music, except for one artist. And that was because a cassette tape was stuck in a car he bought. And it was John Denver. and then he started listening to John Denver, and each summer it was a cab, you know, so we went listening to John Denver. And the first time he because he collected music boxes, he had the biggest music box collection in Europe and a museum. So he was in a television show once, and Phil Collins here in Stockholm, Phil Collins were there too. And Phil Collins were warming up, and my father said to him, "I like you. You can be something in the future. You sound just like my favorite John Denver." But my mother was a dancer in cabarets and stuff like that. So she was more into a little jazz and stuff like that. So, but otherwise, it was more classical music in my home.
So what was the sort of first record that you brought home, that you bought?
First of all, it was expensive to buy a record, but I remember I wanted to be a DJ early. So I had my first DJ gig when I was 11 at the local school. And then I actually got a job every Thursday at a disco for young people. So about 12, I was quite a popular DJ in my town. And but one of the first records was Automatic. What was the groom's name? Feel me, hear me, da, da, da. Automatic Lover. Cliff Richard, We Don't Talk Anymore was a I just got hooked by that song. So that's two of the ones I remember.
Your mother sounds like she was sort of in a cultural sort of scene, in a way, by the way you describe her. Were you around people who were doing things culturally as a young child?
Yeah, a little by that. But she at that time, she had quit doing that. She was home with us. But they also had an understanding for us developing our music skills. And so I went to take piano lessons and playing drums. And I was forced by my mother to play the piano. I was crying, you know, when I was 8 years old and went there, because I want to play the drums, you know. but she let me play the drums. And then we moved to a bigger house when I was like 10 years old. And then me and my brothers had a music room, and it was sound proof from the rest of the house. So we had some instruments. I got my drums, and there was a piano, and my brother played the guitar. So they really enthusiast the music from the beginning.
So they were very encouraging that they really wanted you to be involved in music. What was Swedish music at the time of your upbringing?
At the time also, if we go back, when I was 13, 14 and 15, they were encouraging the DJing too, you know. But at that point, I got a job Wednesday, Friday, Saturday at a club that had 18 years age, because they had the right to serve alcohol, and I was 15. And at that time I went to school, and my father said, you can't work nights and go to school at the same time. And I said, yes, I can. And I show him my grades, and I say, I have the best grades in all in the whole school. But so promise, if I can keep DJing at nights and keep my grades, if I don't do it, then you can tell me to stop. And he said, yeah, it makes sense.
What sort of music did you orient towards?
I was playing in rock bands, symphonic rock, and I like Saga and Rush and stuff like that when we were playing in the band. But I also, my heart was divided, so I also have this thing for dance music, and a lot of DJs in Sweden played a lot of rock, and I was trying to play more soul, funk, old James Brown, and more rhythmical music. So I was looking at even at an early age at the R&B stuff and soul funk that came from the United States like Zapp, Roger Troutman, and stuff like that. And so I had to mix it in a little in the sets and start mission my work, you know, like a missionary. I play some rock songs here, but you have to listen to this too. And a lot of people start enjoying it, because at that time, in the beginning, we didn't have any radio to speak of, you know, and television, two channels before MTV came. So you have to buy the vinyls and just play it in the clubs.
What year was this? What sort of years? Was this the early 80s?
Yeah, 82, 83.
Because it was in the 80s that Sweden was changing quite dramatically. I mean, you had like the diversification of the culture in Sweden because of people coming from different countries, which happened, you know, in the 60s and 70s, and Sweden was changing. And you also had a big change in the music scene. How aware were you that there was something there sort of bubbling under and coming up?
It's true that what you say, we had a lot of influences from the whole world. And then we also had the Swedish folk music, like, and ABBA and stuff like that to look back. But at that time, ABBA was, everybody hated ABBA in Sweden. Because I don't know why, but then it changed. And then also we had in Sweden music classes in school. And we also had one thing that was very special, that you could apply if you were a band and you rented a place to rehearse or something. You can apply for some money from the government to make rehearsals and stuff like that. So, and buy instruments. So a lot of bands started like that. I was in a band and we shared the same place to rehearse with the Europe when I was in a rock band. And we were the better band than Europe, but they had this great looking singer and we didn't have a good singer. So, I mean, we went like this and they went like this.
When did you meet Robert?
We knew each other as DJs because we played in these clubs that started to getting dance music oriented and funk. And then I worked at a record store which called Vinyl Mania in Stockholm. And every DJ in Sweden went there to buy the records. And he was in there. And then he participated in the Swedish DJ Mixing Championships at 87, and I was in the jury. And he didn't do so well there. But then we start giving each other some gigs, you know, can you take this club and I take that one? And he said he's going to participate 88 in the DJ Mixing Championships. And he did, and he won in Sweden, and he went to Royal Albert Hall, you know, to the DMC. Competition. And at that time, we start talking about doing something together. And I won the same thing, Swedish Championships 89, and went to London, Royal Albert Hall, and the DMC Championships. And between 88 89, we start forming the concept of Robin Razz.
What connected you, do you think? What sort of music were you both into, and what did you feel really connected you? Was it actually a specific type of music that you wanted to make together, or was it just the idea of let's work together and try and be successful? What was the goal?
Everything just kind of got together in some coincidences, because we played a lot of funk, soul, and also dance music, and we had this British Bomb the Bass and stuff like that. A lot of DJs start doing music with samples and stuff like that. And at the record store that I worked, a guy comes in and leave a note. I was at lunch, and he said, "I want a DJ or some DJs to start producing music, because that's what they do in England. And that guy was Claes Lunding, and he had just started Telegram Records and signed the Titiyo, Papa D, Space Lab, Jon Rekdal. And so the other guy in the record, so maybe this is something for you and Rob. And so I called Claes Lunding and say, let's have a meeting and see what we can do. And he had just started up. And so we went to his very small apartment in Stockholm. It's a one room apartment. And we said, yeah, we can do this. And he said, yeah, maybe you can do a song with Papa D. And we said, yes, of course. Where's the studio? And I said, yeah, I don't have a studio. Okay, so where's, can you book a studio? No, I don't have any money. So how do we do this? Well, you have to fix it on your own. And because we were very talented at the DJ thing with scratching and stuff like that, people will start calling us to apply scratches and stuff on remixes and production. And we said, yes, we can do that. How much money do you want? And we said, no, we want studio time. And that's how we got to get studio time and start working together.
I think this was in 88, wasn't it? It was actually before you were at the DMC. Can you tell me, because I watched that this morning, can you tell me about your set and what you actually played? Because it's even today to look at that, to see you do that, it's an amazing achievement, and it's really incredible. So can you tell me a little bit about that performance, as it were?
Yeah, the thing was that you had 7 minutes, you know, and you had to... The skills started just a few years ago to really get very in the whole world. I mean, it's everybody was improving their skills. So before doing this competition, it was like a boxer going to world championships. I trained like 8 hours every day, and also tried to find the music that was with the good sounds of making cuts and stuff like that, but also interesting from the beginning to 7 minutes. So we tried to develop some new techniques and skills. And we had also, actually 88, when Rob participated, he ended his thing with playing on an old Deep Purple record, the Smoke on the Water, and then had another Def Jam record and played the melody. And that was the thing I had in my program the year before. And people were writing all this hip hop magazine, ah, that's a new technique from Sweden, you can play tones and stuff like that.
Want big savings on best-in-class supplements? From November 21st to 28th, you can save 25% on all of Bioptimizer's products. No restrictions and no limits. This is their biggest sale of the year, and it won't happen again until 2023, which means right now is the best time to stock up on Magnesium Breakthrough, P3OM Probiotics, Masszymes, and more. Just go to www.bioptimizers.com/podcast10 and enter podcast10 for 25% off any order during 2022 Black Friday, November 21st through 28th.
Science proves quality sleep is vital to your mental, emotional, and physical health. The Sleep Number 360 smart bed senses your movements and automatically adjusts to help keep you both effortlessly comfortable. And it's temperature balancing, so you stay cool. So you're at your best for yourself and those you care about most. Life-changing sleep, only from Sleep Number. It's our Black Friday sale. Save 50% on the Sleep Number 360 limited edition smart bed, plus free home delivery on all smart beds when you add a base. And Cyber Monday. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You're listening to Pop, The History Makers, with me, Steve Blame.
A few years before, I think it was in 85, that the sort of the basis of Sweemix came about when... Sten Halstrom had talked about that the American and British remix scene was shit and that, or sucked, he actually said, and that people needed hot remixes of individual tracks rather than a medley of hits. How aware were you of what was going on there and this sort of movement that was also, it was in parallel to yours in a sense, this sort of movement, how aware were you that there were really things like a scene bubbling in Sweden?
Yeah, I mean, it's very, Sweden is very small, and we and Sweemix worked together and we were competitors. So Dr. Alban, for instance, I was friends with him like when he was a dentist, and he had clubs and stuff like that, and I rented out equipment to him. And Sweemix also went to this record store, Vinyl Mania, and some of them, like Dennis Pop and me, we changed DJ gigs. I put him on DJ sets in my clubs and the same. So we knew each other. And then they start most doing remixes, and we did remixes also, but we wanted to do our original music. And then, so we were like competitive friends. And then in this store, Vinyl Mania, they had an office, and only Robin Razz and Sweemix could go into the office because they have some special records there. And they had this whiteboard. So me and Rob went to buy records, and then we did funny pictures like Sweemix. They were begging for food, and Robin Razz, they were swimming in dollars and made success and everything. And then when we come back, Sweemix had done the same thing with us. But it was competition with heart. So we knew each other very well and went to each other's club. And actually, when we started program our first songs, we landed their studio for free. And we also helped them with some stuff. So we were very close before that.
Because I remember that the ID magazine, they had a cover, didn't they? In I think it was in 87, which was about Nordic Beat. And I think Camilla was on the cover, actually, La Camilla. And it was talking about Sweemix at that time. But Telegram was sort of like the last key in the puzzle sort of thing. Yeah. It was the last piece of the puzzle for that to come together. You said at the start you worked with Papa D in the studio, and you made two tracks with him. Can you tell me what you made and what the influence in that music was?
Yeah, we had just started out. And at that time, Robin Razz was pure hip-hop. And hip-hop was, the years before, in the beginning of the 80s, we went to New York, and we went to a lot of clubs in Harlem, and we were the only white people there because we got to know Ice-T and Just Ice, and they respected us a little like DJs. So we could get a lot of influence from the American hip hop style. So we wanted to do something downbeat, so when we started producing the beats, we wanted it to be heavy and hip-hop style, even though we went to the club and played house in the evening. That's what we thought, that Robin Razz was going to be a hip-hop band.
The what the album, the Eric B. and Rakim album, how much of that of an influence was that on you? Because many artists cite that album as being really sort of of fundamental importance to their development. How important was it to you?
Just you name it, I get the goosebumps, because it was very important. First of all, the beats and the productions, and also the way he rapped and everything. We were like stunned. And that was like a eye opener for us. So, I mean, it's still great.
So how did it make you change? What did you change in what you were doing and develop from that, from Paid in Full?
Yeah, we had this studio that we could lend if we scratch at the productions and stuff. And we programmed our beats a little. But I had this idea to make an up-tempo song with, and I had this melody. And actually, I never told anyone this, but since it's not a theft, the inspiration from that, I thought, because at that time I was a lot into Minneapolis, and
it's Nasty Girl from Prince, is it? Prince's
more Sheila E. A Love Bizarre. Because I could play that in it was that tempo, and I also she had the melody da na 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 da da na 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 na. I thought that's so brilliant to make. So we went into the studio and we worked with two engineers, and we had the beats programmed, and I said the melody is going to be like this, and I played it on an organ. And these engineers, they are very famous now as producer, but they have been to the States, and they listen to it and say, is that so cool, really? Couldn't you make it more? No, it should be like this. And I was like, let's do this. It's going to be great when we take in the live brass and everything. And they were like shaking their heads. But then me and Rob was at the first, maybe because we didn't know Leila at that time. And we were about to make a third thing with Papa D. And Rob and me, we had fights over this every day, because he thought the song was too corny and we should be hardcore hip hop, you know. And I said, let's do it. It's just for fun. But maybe if we find a girl to do it, it will, take off the hip hop thing. It's going to be more poppy and stuff like that.
So where did you find Leila?
Well, we have two versions. The official version in the beginning, the first 20 years, is semi-true. And because she participated in a rap contest and we were in the jury, and she came second, and we signed her because we thought that was a great story. But actually, a guy rapper from a male rapper from Gothenburg had sent me this tape with three songs before that, and at just in a bridge like 15 seconds Leila appears and doing something. So I had already heard her before this, and so I had her in my mind. And when she went to this rap competition, we could also see her. So then we thought, yes, let's try her.
How old was Leila Kay at that time?
17, I think.
What appealed to you, not just about her rapping and her voice, but what else appealed to you that made you think this could be, you know, successful with Leila Kay?
The things really happened very fast, because we saw her she performed, and she had some charisma at stage, and she looked really good to do something poppy stuff like that. So that, and I had heard her voice, but we didn't know anything about her except from that. So because in that time, nobody, even the small record companies, had no money. Producers, DJs had no money. We tried to get extra DJ sets to pay for studios, and so studio time was the key. You know, it was so expensive to rent a studio. So we called her. She was living in Gothenburg, and we said, we have this song. Can you? We buy you some train tickets, and we try out in the studio. And we just picked her up at the station. I say, hi, I'm Raz. This is Rob. Get on the mic. And we even had to find a friend to. We had written some lyrics, but another friend, MC Too Fresh, to write. He had a lunch break from his job. So he wrote the rest of the rhymes. So we didn't have time to, you know, small chat or anything like that.
You're listening to Pop, The History Makers, with me, Steve Blame.
Was she confident and tough, or was this sort of a shy, different type of girl at the beginning?
She didn't say anything, and we only discussed the timing of the rhymes and stuff like that. And we did actually, of course, from the beginning, the song was called On and On, and the chorus was not Got to Get. And the verses were good, and she went back to Gothenburg, but this chorus with on and on and on and on and on, like it won't do it. So then we took another train ticket a week later, and we recorded this Got to Get. But still the same thing, that we never talked or went out for a dinner. We just focused on the studio hour. So she was working hard in the studio, and that's all.
Now, you said that the success came very quickly. Can you tell me about how that process was and how quick it was?
Yeah, first of all, nobody in Sweden had had any success abroad with dance music, so it's or rap. I mean, we had ABBA, of course, and some other things, and also Roxette was doing great with the pop thing in the United States, but nobody really thought it was possible, but we were, since we had DJ that made these things in London, and we were aiming at the world, and we really wanted to do something international. And when we started, the song came together, the record company and the publisher, they thought, I mean, this is going to be a hit. This is great. And I was like, not so sure, because nobody has ever done it. So we always were very self-critic. I mean, as Rob and Raz as a team, we had unreleased 1,000 songs because we don't think it's good. And they say, and we send it around, and then we mixed it, and and we send it to a record company, and that's where it started.
Was there any sort of special marketing method of promoting it in Britain? Because a lot of artists outside of Britain, and I saw that with people like Snap, would have like a fictional studio in Brixton where the record was made to sort of suggest it was connected to Britain. But what were there any special sort of marketing tricks around the song at that time? Or was it, you know, purely the truth and it went by itself?
Yeah, first of all, how we came to get signed by Arista at that time. It's the worst coincidence story ever. It was like this. Another guy in Sweden called Jeppe Ekholm, he was with Simia Hamilton in this house group, Clubland. They had some popular song, dance songs. And his interest was like and the side business was exporting 12-inch record to the UK, to DJ stores and stuff like that in London. So he took some Swedish 12-inch from Swemix and from us, and he exported like 10 copies there and 15 of this, very small scale. So, and one record, so we didn't have a contract then abroad or just in Sweden. And so a DJ picked this record up, he listens to it, and he works in a pub in London. And at the evening, he plays the record. And in that pub, in the same building, I think Gary Davis, the radio DJ, he lived in that. So he went near after work, you know, for a pint, and he heard this song that he hadn't heard before. And he was like into everything. So he goes to the DJ and say, what is this? I don't know. It says Stockholm on it. Can I borrow the record? I want to play it in my morning show. And then he took the record, and in the morning show, he said, yeah, something new from Sweden. You haven't heard this one before. I want to be the first. And he plays it. And in the car, listening to his morning show, there is this guy that have a friend working at Arista Records called Chris Cook, who is an A&R. So he calls this guy and says, you got to listen to this the morning show. And he comes in at the half, I mean, 30 seconds left of the song. And then he started to, yeah, it sounds good. I'm going to find this. And then he started investigating in Sweden, who is Robin Rass and who is Leila Kay and what is the record company. And that's how he got signed to Arista UK at first.
And on part two, Raz continues the story of what happened with Leila Kay and talks about his later success with D-Flex and Lutricia McNeil and where he is in his life today.
Want big savings on best-in-class supplements? From November 21st to 28th, you can save 25% on all of Bioptimizer's products. No restrictions and no limits. This is their biggest sale of the year, and it won't happen again until 2023, which means right now is the best time to stock up on Magnesium Breakthrough, P3OM Probiotics, Masszymes, and more. Just go to www.bioptimizers.com/podcast10 and enter podcast10 for 25% off any order during 2022 Black Friday, November 21st through 28th.
Science proves quality sleep is vital to your mental, emotional, and physical health. The Sleep Number 360 smart bed senses your movements and automatically adjusts to help keep you both effortlessly comfortable. And it's temperature balancing, so you stay cool. So you're at your best for yourself and those you care about most. Life-changing sleep, only from Sleep Number. It's our Black Friday sale. Save 50% on the Sleep Number 360 Limited Edition smart bed, plus free home delivery on all smart beds when you add a base. And Cyber Monday. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com.
As an artist of faith, my creativity and spirituality are integral to my identity.
But I'm caught between two worlds.
Luckily, I found Be Make Do, and I'm ready to be who I was created to be.
Be Make Do, the podcast. Listen at soulmakers.org/bemakedo.
When you save on auto insurance for driving safe with USAA Safe Pilot, you'll feel like a big deal. Even in a traffic jam. Save up to 30% with USAA Safe Pilot. Restrictions apply.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.